or how short this will be. So we'll see. Psalms 122. Psalms 122. You know, the Bible says the Lord inhabiteth it. His praises, the Lord's, His people's praises. And so I think we invite the Lord when we praise Him and thank Him for it. So He inhabits those. I was listening, reading Corrie ten Boom the other day. Taught me something. She said fear was an issue with her because she was in the concentration camps, of course. And said, I had a problem with fear. She said, so I learned to cast all my cares upon Him. She said, so fear, I'm used to fear. But then she mentioned after she was out, seemed to have fear. She said that in driving, she was with somebody and they were driving. And she said, I always had a fear just around curves. And she said, I started praying and just the Lord didn't seem to answer that. I think she said, I started singing and the fear went away. And so that's something the Lord taught me. And then she also said something else about prayer. She said, when I started to pray for others, the Lord began to give me a peace in my heart and take that fear away. She said, before I was praying for my own, she said, but when I started praying for others, God answered my prayer. And so I thought, well, that's a reminder. We know that to do those things, but it's just a reminder. Psalms 122, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you again for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us and your grace to us. I pray you'd guide my heart, my lips. Help me to say the things I ought to say in Christ's name. Amen. Psalms 122, verse number 1. This is titled, if at least most of your Bibles, A Song of Degrees of David. And this is ascribed to David, this psalm, and I believe it is. Verse number 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whether the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord, our God, because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek thy good. I will seek thy good. And so when you look at the first verse, this is called an envelope psalm. In one sense, it starts with this and ends with the same thing, the house of the God. Let us go into the house of the Lord. And then you see in verse number 9, because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek thy good. And so I put down really about David's love for the house of God. David's love for the house of God. When you look at our nation, you see that there's definitely problems. When you look here, this particular psalm was really a psalm of jubilee. This was a psalm when everything was going well in Jerusalem. This was David. It was believed that David was on the throne, or David was reigning. It was not before his time, and it wasn't after his time, because after Solomon fell, or at least went into sin, he caused some divisions there. And then after Solomon's death, the whole nation divided. And so this is believed that this is under David's leadership. And God blessed Jerusalem. Jerusalem was blessed, blessed from his enemies, blessed all around. And so this was, there was peace. There wasn't any destruction. There was wealth within God's city of Jerusalem and within that nation and with its people. And so when we look at this, we see really a secret to that. But when we look at our nation, we don't see peace. We don't see God's protection and provision seem to be like it was once in the past. And so I want to look at this here and look at it from the eyes of where we learn from the heart of David, at least what his heart was to the house of the Lord. Because I believe that the answer to our nation is not in the White House, even though I agree with the president and I voted for him. And I'm not ashamed to say that, and I'll vote for him again. But I don't believe that's where the answer lies. I believe the answer lies within God's house, within the church. And I think that's where the answer is, where you want peace in our own world. If we want peace in our own home, we want peace in our own lives. I believe it's what we do, what we find here with the house of God. And so I want to just share these things with you and hope that you'll get them in your heart. You know, I've learned one thing in pastoring. I say I learned it. I've tried to learn it. You can try to tell people and hound people and try to tell them what, but usually they do just the opposite. They don't do what you tell them. They or do what you ask them or try to preach to them. And so I know, even I'm preaching this, I know some people just, they're not going to take it. But I'm going to do because I believe this is what the Lord's word says. And so I'm going to preach it the best I know how. And so I want you to just put down, I put down the first point of love for the house of God. When David said in the first verse, he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Somebody invited David to the house of the Lord. He said, they came to him and said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Somebody invited David to go to the house of the Lord. David already had a heart for the house of the Lord. There are actually three psalms that are together. This 120 psalm goes, 121st psalm goes, and the 122nd psalm. These are songs of degrees. And so in this first 120th psalm, it says, in my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. He said, what shall be given unto thee? And then you see in this 22nd psalm, 120, he said, I was glad when I got away from that group and they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. He said, I was glad when somebody invited me. I didn't want to stay in that group. I wanted to be in the house of the Lord. And so he had a heart for God's house and for the Lord, regardless of what we think of the church. Regardless of what we think of the church. When I say the church, I'm talking about the true church, all right? There are churches, and I thought about preaching when I was studying this. I thought about, well, maybe I need to preach on what the true church is. I think I'm preaching to the crowd that usually will know what the true church is. There are a lot of churches that are not true churches. And I think, you know, we have to go through all the motions. And I know even on the extreme where there are probably true churches that are not doing all they ought to do. If you look at Revelations, those two chapters, each one of them had strong points and weak points. Some of them were large, some of them were small, some of them were struggling, some of them were going forward. And so each one of them, they were all different. So there are a lot of true churches, large and small, that God's with. But there are a lot of churches, and I believe in this day and age, more churches probably that are not true churches than are true. In my own heart. And so that's just my personal conviction. And so when I'm talking about the church, I'm talking about a true church. And so no matter what we think of the church, it is the true church. It is whose church? God's church. Look what he says. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of what? The Lord. The house of the Lord. Can I say this, that the church is not man's church? No church is a man's church. Our first church I pastored, and I hope they're not listening to this, they were good people. But the first church I pastored, I found out after I was in the pastorate that that church was owned by a specific family. Small church. And I've kind of come to understand why that particular family had so much interest within this church and so much, I guess, leadership in the past of that church. But it wouldn't matter if that's a true church. I'm not going to judge it whether it is or wasn't. If that was a true church, it didn't matter who owns those buildings, whether she owns it or he owns it. Whose church is it? God's church. And so when you look at this, David said, let us go unto the house of the Lord. And I put down there, no church is a man's church. No church is the pastor's church. You know, oftentimes I catch myself, I say, well, my church, talking to some other pastor, talking to somebody, well, my church. Well, I mean, I don't mean anything by it. But in a sense, it's not my church at all. It's God's church. It's not my church. It's the Lord's church. When you look at the church David had in his heart to build the Lord's house, did he not? And so David had in his heart to build it. God even gave David the plans for that house. But even David said, it's not my house. It's the Lord's house. Solomon, his son, built the church. All that money, prayed, sanctified the church there, or the house of God. But it wasn't Solomon's church. You see what I'm trying to say to you? It's not our church. It's the Lord's church. And so when you look at this thing, sometimes we believe it's, some people believe it's establishment's church. I've been in a church. I told you I saw a church that actually got in a fist fight. It was a great pastor, probably one of the greatest pastors I ever had. It was a church probably about the same width, was deeper than this. They had a great pastor, and God, I mean, God just was a blessing. I was a young man, and God did a whole host in my own heart, my life. But there was an establishment within that church that didn't like what he was doing. That church was exploding in growth, but they felt like they were losing power. And so they actually had no telling what they were doing to that pastor, but that pastor resigned. So no matter what people, whether they're the money, usually the establishment in that particular church was the money group. And so no matter what establishment we might say that they are or we are, it's still the Lord's church. I want to show you something if I can, as far as there are many reasons why we should love the church. And most of you may know these things, but I'm going to give you a few of them. We should love the church because it's the appointed place of worship. I hope you get that in your heart. It is the appointed place of worship. The church is God's appointed place of worship. You say, I talk to people all the time, and I've had people make statements, so, well, you know, I can worship anywhere. Well, that's a true statement, but that's not a statement of someone that understands the church. This church, we all know, at least in this group, I believe most people know, the church is not a building. The church is people. But if you look in the New Testament, the church is always referred to a local New Testament church, never as a universal body. It is always the local church. And so when you look at a church, it is set aside. A church is basically an assembly that's basically voluntarily joined themselves to follow the Lord's Great Commission and to do the Lord's Great Commission. That's a church. And so when we look at the church, we have a building here. You know what this building is? It is set aside and appointed for what? Worship. This church has been sanctified and set apart for worship. This building has. Every part of it. This property has. And so this building is the appointed place of worship. You could go and worship everywhere, but it's not God's appointed place. God's appointed place for the house of God is in the house of God. That's why David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. He understood that. He knew that. You can worship other places. So I'm just giving you some reasons why we should worship the Lord and some reasons why about the church. We should love the church because God's children are there. Fellowship. You know the thing that's desperately needed in churches is true fellowship. True fellowship. Where people get to know one another. Where people know one another's needs and desires and hopes and dreams, and they pray for one another. Not just come in and not speak to one another. I remember R.A. Torrey made a statement. He said, if we could get people to fellowship. That first century church, one of the qualifications of that church, when he says they were continued in the fellowship, in prayer, in the apostles' doctrine, but fellowship was there. And so we need to love and learn to get along with God's children. That's the reason we ought to be in church. You can't fellowship really sitting at home, not with God's children. You fellowship when you're at appointed place. It's because the place of God's appointed message. God's got a message. If God's called me to this pastorate and called me as a pastor, then he's got a message for me to give. Because it's the proper, I'll put it, give you another, it's the proper place of prayer for God's children. My house should be called what? House of prayer. Did he say your house would be called a house of prayer? It may be. But what is called the house of prayer? God's house. A building. A place where God dwells. And so the house of God is called. Let me give you another one. And this is the main point I want to say this. It's God's anointed blessing. Is an anointed building. His anointed place. His anointed church. I'm going to give you that statement. God's anointed blessing is in this house and in the other true church, if that's where the Lord led you. Let me give you some reasons why. God's people are gifted for what? Every one of us have a gift if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You at least have one. You may have multiple gifts. Why were we given those gifts? For the church. They were given for the church. And the way God does his kingdom work is through the church. I'm not saying he doesn't do it outside that, but if you lead somebody to Christ, where are you going to lead them to? Where are you going to direct them to? You want to get them under the church so they grow under the sound, preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And so God's people are gifted for the church. God's finances are blessed because the tithe is given to the what? Church. The tithe is given to the Lord, but it's given to God's church. Your finances, my finances have been blessed because I've given to the church. I'm just trying to show you God's anointing, his blessing. God's people are fed by the shepherd God appointed. God's healing is promised. We've already mentioned it this morning or this evening by the prayers from the church. You sit at home, no person, they say, well, I worship home, but no church, no individual person calls a pastor. You don't give tithe at your home. You don't send out missionaries at your home. God's anointed place of worship is at his house, the house of the Lord. And that's what it is. And so David loved the house of the Lord. Can I give you, I'm going to just ask you a question, and I'm going to try to see if I can bring it. This is Wednesday night Bible study. This is kind of way I preach anyhow. I always was a kid, I want to know why. I didn't want just somebody to tell me. I want to know why. I want to know why I believe what I believe. And that's my heart. And so I try to get people to understand and talk, look at the scriptures and know why from God's word. The Bible says, I think it's in 1 Samuel, the 13th chapter. I think it's in 1 Samuel. I know it's in 1 Samuel, but I think that's the chapter. It says, David was a man after God's own heart. Whose heart do we learn from out of that verse? David. But we also learn somebody else's heart. God's heart. So both hearts we learn. So we learn about God's heart from who? David's heart. God said about David that David was a man after God's own what? Heart. And God's heart, he said, my heart is the house of God. So what's God's heart? The church, the house of God. A place appointed for worship. Chad, just leave it alone. Don't listen to what everybody else said. Just leave it alone. So we won't worry about that. Anyhow, so give me number two. David had a love for the praises of God. The praises of God. Look, if you would, verse number four. And this is what David said. Whether the tribes go up, or the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. Where are they giving thanks to the name of the Lord? Where are they giving a testimony to the name of the Lord? The church. The house of God. And so David said here in his heart, he said, that's where the praises of God should be. In God's house. I'm going to turn in Ephesians chapter 4. You can turn if you want to. I'm going to give you some biblical reasons. I gave you all biblical reasons, but I'm going to take you to a verse of scripture. In Ephesians 4 and verse number 10, it said, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, who did he give those to? To the church. All right. For the perfecting of the saints. I hope all of y'all are saints in here. We know we're all sinners. But the Lord wants us to be perfected what? Saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. So all these gifts were given so he might perfect the body or the church of Christ. And that church meets already, like I said, in a place, a local New Testament church. Those are biblical reasons. I gave you a lot of other reasons. But David in here gives us a direction, really a direction that should be in our churches. And often I forget it. You know, I want to preach a message or I won't do this way or this. But you know, David said, look, within our church, within the house of God, there ought to be praise and thanksgiving. Within the church. That means within God's children, there needs to be some praises. The longer I live and the more I serve the Lord, you know what the Lord's trying to teach this preacher? To thank the Lord and praise the Lord. That's what he's trying to teach me. How many times I have been so blessed by the Lord. I mean, so blessed. And then after that blessing seems to fade away, at least in my mind, and it's gone, then what helps comes is complaining, griping about the blessing that first was a blessing. See what I mean? You know what God's saying? That's not true. And so the Lord, before long, he'll take that away and give you something else. You say, well, that's a great blessing. And then the Lord will take that away. Turn with me in your, we're in Psalms. Turn to 107 with me. Psalms 107. The Lord's talking about his people here. And in verse number 8, Psalms 107, I want you to look at verse number 8. This is the Lord speaking about his children. He talks about how they got in trouble. And he says in verse 8, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful work to the children of men. You say, what has God done for me? Well, I think we need to spend some time thinking about his goodness. And then I want you to look, if you would, in verse number 15. He said, oh, that when men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Then I want you to look at verse number 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Then I want you to look at verse number 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Who's he speaking to? If you look at the description there, he's talking about the church in the wilderness. You say, there is no church in the New Testament. Well, there's an assembly. And Stephen said it was a church in the wilderness in Acts, I think, the 7th, 8th chapter. The assembly of God in the wilderness. And so he was talking, regardless whether you call it a church or not, he was speaking to his what? Children. To his children. And they'd go up on the mountain. They'd bless the Lord for a while, and then they'd go down in the valley. And they'd forget the Lord. And then they'd call and pray. And he said, oh, that men would just praise the Lord. Then they'd go up on the mountain again because God answered the prayer. And then they'd go down in the valley and they'd have some destruction. And then they'd pray and then God would answer it again. And he'd say, oh, that men would praise the Lord. The same thing he's saying to those, to the nation of Israel and to his chosen people is the same thing God's saying to his church and to his pastor and to his people. We need to praise the Lord for what he's given us. And so when you come to the God's house, what do you come for? Not to what we can get, but what we can give. We should be that type of person. What we can give to the Lord. What we can give to others. That's what our motive ought to be in any part of our life. Especially when it comes to church. David said, I was glad that I came to the house of the Lord, that somebody invited me. And when I came, I wanted to praise the Lord. When we sing those songs, you know what those songs are about? The Lord. So we ought to sing it in a different light. We ought to think about everything we do in a different perspective. It's not this pastor's house. It's God's house. What am I here for? Well, I'm mad at her, I'm mad at him, whatever. I'm supposed to be here to what? Praise the Lord. A lot of other things need to happen. Perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry. But one thing David directs us to, there ought to be the praises of his children. And so we need to get in practice to be praising the Lord. Can I give you just the last thing and just give it quickly because I don't have a whole lot of things mentioned on this particular part. But David had heart for the peace of God. Peace of God. I want you to look with me in verse number 5. He said, for there are set thrones of judgment. You know what he's saying? In other words, there's offices of really rank and judgment, political offices that we would call them, that are in Jerusalem. They're already set and they're established. He said, those are the thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You know, we have in our democracy a separation of church and state. That may be fine, but there should never be a separation of our country from God. That's what we see right now. We see a separation of our God, really, from his people. And so he's saying, look, no matter who's in the office, you and I might not like that officer, that politician, but we ought to still pray for the office. We still ought to pray for our politicians. If I want peace in my world, in my life, in my town, in my nation, then I ought to pray for it. And that's what David says here, right after he talked about all these political, he said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. We ought to pray, yes, for Jerusalem, but we need to pray for our own Jerusalem, our own country. We're talking about the heart for peace. And then he goes on to say, pray, he said, for peace within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. You know what that word prosperity means? Not money. The emphasis is on spiritual. For the spiritual prosperity. That's what we need in our nation. A spiritual prosperity. A revival within our nation. And so he's saying, I need to pray for my country. I need to pray for a spiritual revival. Then last of all, he says, for my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. We ought to pray for one another, brethren, people that we love. He says, because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. And so when you look at David, David was a man after God's own heart. He loved God's house because it was God's house. God's house. What should be in God's house? Praise to the Lord. There ought to be some prayer. We need peace in our nation. We need peace in our world. We need a spiritual peace in our country. The only way it's going to ever get it is not from a president, but from God's house, God's people praying for it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Dear Lord, I